Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we got Brian. Let's go to the Dialpad guest line. Joining us right now, Brian Baldinger. He's a radio.com sports NFL insider, and he's brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Brian, it's that week we've all been waiting for. I guess what I'm going to ask you is, do you get excited around this time of year?
Yeah, I get excited, Simon. I mean, I'm ready to go here. I've been ready, and you know, I've got a bunch of games I got to do this weekend. I'm doing the Texas Tech game on Saturday night. Somehow I'm going to jump on a spaceship and do the Browns in Tennessee on Sunday. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to roll.
Baldy, we were in the green room before the show started. So much optimism, and Bonte said something to me, and he said, "You know what, Guru? It just seems like the league is wide open." And I thought to myself, it could be Philly, but Carson Wentz hasn't done it in the playoffs. That was Foles. It could be Dallas. It could be New England. Where are you at? Is there a clear-cut favorite in your mind when this season starts that they got the clear advantage for the Lombardi Trophy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I know the Patriots are probably favored to win the East, and you know they won it 10 years in a row. So why wouldn't they be favored in the 11th year? You know, with the quarterback and the coach there. But you know, outside of maybe the Patriots just repeating in the AFC East, I think it's wide open. I think the league has shown that it's wide open every year, and that there's going to be, on average, 5 new playoff teams every year. And how you guess who the new playoff teams are going to be? I mean, if your guess is as good as mine. I mean, if nobody had the Bears winning the NFC North last year the way that they did, nobody probably had the Chargers winning 12 games the way they did. So I think that, you know, nobody had the Baltimore Ravens with the rookie quarterback, you know, getting hot and winning 6 of the last 7 games and winning the NFC North, so, or the AFC North. So, I mean, I think it's wide open. And I think that's the way you have to approach it right now.
No, it's definitely wide open, Baldy. A lot of parity. Who will the Patriots be after life after Rob Gronkowski, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Saints? What are they going to do? What about the Rams with the Super Bowl hangover? But I want to focus on the 49ers for a second, Baldy. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's back after being hurt in Week 3 last season. Coleman and Breida is his running backs. We'll see who flourishes at the wide receiver position. But I'm looking at this Tampa Bay offensive line, and I'm saying, okay, there's meat on the bones there for this defensive line of the 49ers. Let's see what Bosa's about. Let's see what D Ford is about. I'm expecting this defensive line to dominate on Sunday and make the game easy for guys like Garoppolo and this young offense, especially on the outside with the wide receivers, Baldy. I'm looking at this defensive line, and if they're the best in the league, or one of the best in the league, as everybody's hyping them up to be, then let's see it on Sunday.
No, I agree. I mean, nobody has invested more resources, draft capital, money in their defensive line than the 49ers. I mean, I saw the Cleveland Browns go to Tampa 2 weeks ago in the third preseason game. And, I mean, Jameis Winston was just trying to throw the ball into the nickel seats just to get rid of it. They sacked him 5 times in the first half. They chased him and harassed him another 5 times. And he was eating grass, you know, before the halftime whistle blew. And that same offense line is probably going to start, you know, this Sunday afternoon in Tampa for your 49ers. I mean, they've watched the same film, and they better be, you know, getting hungry because it's there. You're right. I mean, it is there to be taken. Tampa's got, you know, they've got some weapons, but if they can't block for Jameis Winston up front, he's not going to run away from many people. I mean, I think you've got a guy back there that they should get the season started off on a good note. I would think they'd get after him pretty good on Sunday.
Brian Baldinger joining Matt Steinmetz, Darryl the Guru Johnson, and Bonte Hill. Let me ask you about George Kittle. He was the leading receiver for the 49ers last year at the tight end position. Do you think it's a fundamental problem at all, or can be, if your tight end leads your team in receiving yardage? Or is it just, or is... is it fine for that to be the strength of your receiving core?
No, it's fine. I mean, you know, Zach Ertz led the Eagles in receptions. He set a team record with number of catches last year. They're a playoff team. What can't happen, though, Steiny, is that you can't have George Kittle, you know, catching, I don't know, 88 passes and 1,400 yards. Well, you can't have that and then have this huge drop-off to your next receiver. I mean, that's got to be right. Balanced this year. I think that's where things might happen. I mean, George Kittle could still have a Pro Bowl year and not catch 88 passes and all the yards. The yards are a function of the play-action passes and the offense, what Kyle could do, and George's talent. I mean, the guy can flat-out run, and he's explosive. So, you know, you put the ball in the right position, let him run after the catch, he's going to get a lot of extra yards. But they need these receivers to step up. They need them to stay on the field. They've got a lot of speed out there in Pettis and Goodwin. We got to see what Hurd and Samuel do, if they're going to be active, what role they have to start the season. But they're going to put their two fast guys out there in Pettis and Goodwin. And we'll see if they can stay healthy and if they can step up this year.
Baldy, I watched Hard Knocks, and, you know, I was telling the fellas I'm not ready to put a number on the Raider win total, but, you know, I don't know if it was for the cameras, but that I really felt like they were a group and they were playing for one another, and you can't judge anything on the preseason games, so I won't. But I want to ask you your expectation of the Oakland Raiders heading into 2019.
Well, I think they're a much improved football team. I mean, they've added a lot of talent, but, you know, talent doesn't win games for you. The team does. And so, you know, can they take care of the football? Derek Carr did the second half of the season last year. Let's just see if Josh Jacobs can give them the thumper that they thought they had with, you know, Marshawn Lynch when they first signed him, when Gruden first got there. I mean, that's going to be the basis of this team. Can they run the football? Because I think if they can run it, and Josh Jacobs is worthy of being the first back taken, then I think you've got a foundation to what John Gruden really wants to do. They've had a lot of pieces up front, starting with Trent Brown. I think he's the biggest human I've ever seen in a football uniform. That doesn't mean he's going to be a great player. You saw him in San Francisco, but he is massive. If they can run the ball, that would be a big start to everything else that they want to do. I think defensively, they're going to be okay. They got a lot of young players, a lot of new players. Sometimes that doesn't come together right away. But I think whatever flaws they have can usually be masked if you run the ball really, really well. I'm anxious to see Jacobs run it. Haven't seen him run it yet. We haven't. I want to see just what kind of back he is. He wasn't the starter at Alabama. He didn't carry it a lot. That could be a good thing sometimes. You know, the fact that you haven't had a lot of tread off the tire. But I want to see what he looks like, you know, on Sunday with the Raiders and see if he can get you 100 yards and if they're moving the line of scrimmage. That's where it's all going to start.
Yeah, I'm high on Josh Jacobs, Baldy. I believe he's going to win Rookie of the Year in the AFC, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I just remember that run he had against Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl where he went through a guy at the goal line when he could have walked in, but instead he wanted to go through somebody. I said, okay, this kid is tough. But looking at the NFL in general, we kick off Thursday night at Soldier Field. Bears surprising everybody last year when they made the Khalil Mack trade. They win the division. They lose that tough playoff game to the Eagles, of course, with Cody Parkey missing a kick. But I'm looking at this defense now under Chuck Pagano as Vic Fangio has moved on. And this offense of the Green Bay Packers with Matt LaFleur, how will Aaron Rodgers look? What are you expecting Thursday night between the Bears and Packers?
Well, I mean, nope. I'm actually watching the Bears defense right now. They asked me about it. You know, it's still going to be a base 3-4 defense. It's primarily the same cast of characters that led the league in takeaways and defense last year with the Chicago Bears. We haven't seen one starter for the Bears defense all summer. We haven't seen a starter for the Packers offense all year. So there's a whole lot of unknown right now. And usually when that happens, you probably don't get great football. You know, I think that, you know, the whole league, we're going to see teams struggle out of the box here this year. I think this September is going to look like what August used to be. It's going to look a lot like preseason games, what we think of them. I think we're going to see mistakes and penalties and probably not going to see great execution yet. None of these coaches can convince me that scrimmages and practices assimilate game conditions, especially regular season games. So then it comes down to taking care of the football and, who makes the fewer mistakes. I mean, I'm looking at the Packers right now. They're going to have Tim Boyle from Eastern Kentucky, who's never thrown a pass in the league, as the backup to Aaron Rodgers. But that's not alone. That isn't that big of a deal. It's a league-wide trend, is that teams are putting backups behind their starters that have never thrown a pass. It's happening in New England. It's happening in Carolina. It's happening in Jacksonville. It's kind of a league-wide thing that they're going to go with completely inexperienced quarterbacks in a league where we all kind of know that you better get your backup ready because he's probably going to have to play unless it's Brady or Breeze or Rivers right now.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much for joining us as always, and look forward to doing it every week.
My pleasure, guys. I can't wait to next week. Talking about real football next week, guys.
Yeah, no
exactly.
Doubt,
that's Brian, weekend.
Brian Baldinger. He's a Radio.com Sports NFL insider, and he's brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.